Hey, Josh Felber here. Excited for you to check out this episode of Making Bank. You're going to want to make sure you have your notebooks ready, you're paying attention, you're listening or watching this episode. And if you have to, make sure you rewind and listen and watch this again until you understand and get all the amazing content that's dropping today. If you ever wanted to know, you have a YouTube channel, maybe you're on social media and wondered how you get billions and billions of views, today's guest is going to be able to walk you through those steps on what he does, how he does it, and the insights that you can take away from this to implement in your social media strategy. As well as if you're a dad, he's got some funny dad stories and some things that he does with his kids, I think that are amazing and awesome. So guys, make sure you guys check out today's episode with Justin McClure with the McClure Twins. You'll find them all over YouTube and social media. And again, make sure you guys share this episode, comment below, like it, and share it with a friend or a family member that you think they could benefit from this. So thank you for your time today and watching Making Bank.
You are listening to Making Bank, where we uncover the mindset and success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business.
Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the mindset and the success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business today. Super honored and excited for today's guest, Justin McClure. He and his family are Forbes top creator. He's also the four-time TED Talk speaker. And his family, the Mighty McClures and the McClure Kids, has amassed over 4 billion YouTube and Facebook views. With over 10 million followers across social platforms, the McClure family has been one of the most entertaining families since 2017, when a viral video put them on Good Morning America and the Today Show. But it's all not been rosy for Justin ever since he was little. We're going to dive into some of his story and some of the tragedies, but then how he overcame those to be who he is today and be the man and father and husband that everyone looks at him now. So, Justin, I'm excited to welcome you to Making Bank.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me, Josh. And once again, I think you and I are kind of the same person.
Yeah. Well, we got the same haircut and the same beard style, so.
I love it. Yeah.
I mean, you got to start there, right?
Yeah. We have to call it out. We have the other people going to be saying, is this Josh talking to himself?
Yeah. It's so obvious.
Yeah. But thank you so much for having me on.
For sure, man. And it's super honored. I know we got connected. It's probably been 8 months or so now, I think, when Dame and John connected us. You were in the health and you were poking Damon in the ribs, and he's an advisor on our health company. And he's like, oh my gosh, why am I still not using more of Trina's products?
Yeah.
So I appreciate you giving him those nudge. And now he's like super biohacker with you and Gary Brecka.
Yeah.
And the whole works.
Tell me a little bit
about that, man.
Well, what, Josh, entrepreneurship is my thing, but if I had another life, another career, it'd probably be a biochemist. And part of that is because I am determined to stop poisoning our kids and myself and those around us, because we live in this world where, especially in America, we're pretty much killing ourselves. 200 years ago, we didn't die of all these diseases at the rate we're doing now. We're killing ourselves. So meeting Damon John, one of the first things I did is I got onto his business, and I think he liked that. I was like, Damon, you got to cut this out. You got to stop doing that. You want to live to be 80, right? You got to stop doing this. And then next thing you know, we had a chat about your company, and I was so excited to kind of connect with you guys and get some of your products, which we love. And ever since, you know, every time I see Damon, I'm going to see him this weekend as well, I'm always nudging him about health and talking about, you know, Primal and everything. So, yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, I mean, obviously, like you said, I mean, health's super important because of the world. I mean, everything around us is getting toxified, and from the water to the food supplies. And I mean, you have, you know, amazing kids like I do. And, you know, we want to see them grow up in an environment that they're not getting constantly bombarded with, chemicals and things that are altering them. And I was I was interviewing Jake Campbell, I think a couple weeks ago, and we were talking, and the biggest thing right now is the level of reduction in kids to men's testosterone levels.
Sure.
Due to the fact of the environmental factors from radiation. There we go. Well, I thought it was on the camera. Radiation from cell phones to EMFs to whatever that is, food supply and everything. And it's reducing that level of just growth in, you know, in somebody and how they interact and you know, in their potential. And like you said, cancers and other health issues and things like that.
Just even if you look at kids these days, there's so many kids that have fatty liver disease. And typically a long time ago,
right,
alcoholics got that. But now obviously adults get non-alcoholic fatty liver. But kids are getting that from the sugar, from the processed foods. Kids are getting sick. I even take it as far as a lot of the ADHD that we think our kids have is just, you have a lot of sugar these kids have. They're bouncing all over the place. They go up and down. So, you know, my kids are in a place. I have twins that are 10 and a boy who's 6. If they go to your house, Josh, and you have a birthday party and there's cake there, they will call me and they will say, "Dada, is it okay if we have a piece of cake?" And of course, I it's okay.
Sure.
But I want them to be aware that this is not how you normally eat. I'm coaching soccer. When the parents bring snacks, I tell them, don't bring Capri Suns. The kids drink water. That's it, water. Because I know there's going to be some other crappy snack. But
sure.
I'm trying to let everyone know, and it took about a year with my kids before they started to appreciate it, that, like, Dad just loves you, and I want you to live a long time. I don't want you to get sick. Everyone around me, it takes a little bit of discipline. But these things are super, super, super important because, like you said, the toxicity, the radiation, the processed food, the factories. There's just too many people. There's too many people taking so many resources. And so we're all suffering because of that because everyone wants to profit off of all these things that we're doing.
For sure. And I mean, I think obviously back, you know, as you were growing up, you had family trauma and things like that that led to addictions and health things. So obviously, everything, like I said in the intro, it wasn't all rosy for you. Now, it's amazing that you're super focused on health. You've changed your, transformed your life. But what was a little bit about that journey? And then how did you make that transition away from addiction and a lot of those health things to who you are now today?
Yeah, so Josh, I'm 11 years sober. And I talk about that in a way that I like to get that out. Because you never know what seed needs to be planted in somebody. At one point,
sure,
I needed to hear what I'm saying right now, which 11 years ago, I frankly looked in the mirror and I just said, "You're the problem in your life." You know, Josh, I was living in New York City. I went on a date with this girl and I said, "If I could only get this girl, well, I'll be happy." Because everything was a new thing to make me happy. And so I got this girl and I went home that night and I was still miserable. And so I went home and I started watching Chris Herron, 30 for 30. It's a basketball story, 30 for 30. Chris Herron is a guy who lost his life through, or his career, basketball career, through drugs and alcohol. As I watched the movie, I saw some of myself. There was one point in the movie when Chris said, "Right here is where I passed out and got drunk while my wife and my kid were at the airport waiting for me." Now, a week before that, I missed a very important thing with my family because I was drunk and I missed a plane. So in that moment, out loud, when that happened, I said, "That's pathetic." And then I said, "Oh, wait, that's you. That's you, Justin." So the honesty there made me realize that at that point, I had 3 DUIs. I'd gone to jail several times. I had a bad addiction, drugs and everything. But you know what I did, Josh? I said, "Well, Justin, if you know this is how you feel right now, what can you do tomorrow? What can you do without being overwhelmed?" And I said, "You know what? Just stop drinking. I don't care if I punch a horse or kick a baby. Like, you know, I don't care what else I do if I'm a bad person. Just don't drink. Just don't drink."
Right.
And so I said, "Okay, don't drink." And then, long story short, I didn't drink for a year. And then I said, "Well, maybe I need to go to therapy to figure out what's going on up here to make me abuse myself this way." And that's when I went to therapy, and I realized that, you know, having a mother who had me at 16, my father dying when I was 4. So my mother was a widow at 20 with 2 kids. I didn't really have much of a childhood. We were very poor. I was passed around. And I realized a lot of my 20s was me reaching out and wanting to be loved and using alcohol and drugs as something that made me feel like I was invincible and helping me overcome my insecurities. And that worked until it didn't work anymore, until I had that night where I saw that movie and I said, "Do you want to keep living this way? Because this doesn't seem like it's going to make you happy." And so then sobriety to trauma, to therapy. And then after a year about therapy, I went every Wednesday. And then I said, "I think I'm developing more humility." So I started volunteering. I started helping kids with their homework in New York City. I volunteered at the Botanical Garden, New York Cares, like all these different things. Long story short, I didn't date for a long time, which I was a womanizer before this. When I was in my addiction, I was a womanizer. I didn't date. And then at some point, a couple of years into my sobriety, I met my wife and we're married and we have a beautiful family. And it's kind of like, long story short, is I used to put my energy here and I got sober and I began to put it over here. Mm. I didn't become any smarter. I just said,
right.
Okay, you were doing these things. Start doing some of these things and life got better. And so I help people with addiction. And a lot of it is teaching that is that your life sober or changing your habit has to be bigger than what it was. If it's not, you'll go back to that at some point. But if you can become bigger than your bad habit, you will overcome that. I overcame it by the work of sobriety, therapy, work on myself, humility. And then I put my energy into being an entrepreneur, building our YouTube business and such. And that gave me so much satisfaction that it's like now I look back at my previous life and it's like a different person.
Mm, yeah. No, and that's so true. I mean, what do you think the hardest piece of that transition? Because obviously there's a lot of people that have come from addiction or are still stuck in addiction.
Right.
Like, oh, it makes it sound so easy. You did this and this.
It wasn't easy.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what, when you talk to people, no, it's not easy. But what was that hardest piece in that twit, that thing that
the hardest piece is people, places, things. When I got sober after about a week, remember I said, okay, tomorrow, don't drink. After a couple of weeks, I said, I think this is what I need to be doing. But I'm not, if you're 2 weeks sober, a month sober, you're not strong enough up here. So I said, I took my phone, I deleted every contact, I formatted it. I said, the people who need to contact me will. I was living in a place that was a trigger for me with all these bars around me. I said, I need to move from Lower East Side up to Washington Heights. So I moved. So there's two things right there, people, places, and the things I was doing. The things I was doing was bar hopping, womanizing, dating, blah, blah, blah. And one of the stories that I tell, you know, that I've told several times is the things I would do after work. No, Josh, I worked in Lower Manhattan and I lived in Washington Heights. So I would end work about 5 in Wall Street and I would walk up to Washington Heights every day after work. That's about 5 miles through Manhattan. People ask me why, because I didn't want to be left to my own devices because I knew if I took the subway home, I might have idle time. I might go to the bar. I might do something I shouldn't do. I said, well, you know what? If you just listen to podcasts and just walk that, you know, I've always been into exercise and health. So I said, just take as much time as you need until you get healthier up here. But that's one of the most disciplined things, you know, that I've ever done is I walked every day to keep myself out of bars and to build a new life. So people, places, things is what I did. And those are very hard because you can't expect to change your life if you don't change the people you're hanging out with, the things you're doing, and the places you're going to. And this is the same thing for entrepreneurs as well. It's like if you're trying to build a business, you really have to concentrate on the people, places, things that keep you in the area where that you need to be in so you can build your business.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I think that's huge. And that's amazing, you know, to take those steps to make that transformation. Obviously, you know, God had pieces and parts sprinkled out there for you to try to find that path forward to get you to where you are now and to be able to, you know, give back and help and, you know, help as other people in your life and everything. With that, then obviously you said you started as an entrepreneur and building social media channel. You know, we talked about in the intro a little bit about, you know, you guys have billions and billions of views on YouTube and Facebook and everything. And, you know, people are still struggling to get 20 followers on Facebook or YouTube.
Right.
What's kind of like that magic sauce or what was that thing that really made it just, you know, kick off for you?
You know, well, let me give you a couple of different answers and we can explore the one that's most interesting. But first off, I had a very creative background. I did stand-up comedy for 12 years. I made a living at comedy. So I already had this creative thing of knowing how to make more or less, if that makes any sense. Like the job of a good comedian is instead of saying 15 words, say 11 words. Because it's all about that pow, 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 pow. People laugh, right? Same thing with video editing. A lot of people think that's it. If I have a big ego, I'm going to say, this whole timeline is interesting. But if I remove my ego, it's like, no, only that part is the part that's interesting, right?
Wow.
So going into, YouTube and social media, being sober, my ego was already diminished. So I didn't care who was going to hurt my feelings by saying this is no good. So I was very good in the beginning about just trying to give people what I thought was going to entertain them and make them laugh. And I think that's the biggest thing, is that a lot of people in social and storytelling, they give you what they think is good, but they don't put themselves in the mind of the viewer, the eyes of the viewer. So we've always done that. I've always known that we have, five people in our family. Everybody is pretty interesting and funny. Like, how do we create something that is a dynamic that people are going to be entertained by this? And it takes a real skill, because when we started YouTube in 2017, I wasn't good, but I wasn't afraid to put it out there. So We gradually got better. And it really just becomes like, how to tell a good story.
No, I think that's important. So, creating the story with the most impactful pieces was what you're talking about. And then being able to create the video content to then engage them from that and highlight those parts that you want people to grab onto.
And I think the most important thing is it's really not what you're saying or what you're doing. If you have characters that people like, if they feel they like you, if they like that I'm I tell dad jokes, but I'm this guy, and my mom and my wife is beautiful, and she's a great mom, and our twins and our son, they're very funny. But one thing I think that people like about us is that we're authentic. We're the same on and off camera. You look at us and you feel like you get a sense of that family. I've always, from day one, anytime there's like any bloopers or things that like are that don't go well, I'm like, no, that goes in the video. That's the one thing that will go in. So we've always tried to not try to be perfect. I've been very clear about my past and addiction and everything. My wife has been clear about her faults, because we're here to inspire people. I'm not here to show you the car I drive. I couldn't give a crap about none of that stuff. I'm here to tell you that I've been in the trenches too, and that you can get out as well. We can do it together. Maybe my story can inspire you, but life is great because we have a great family dynamic, and our business is great because of the same thing.
So you kind of mentioned family dynamic. There's a lot of people that are families that watch the show. They're also entrepreneurs and everything. How do you guys, and I don't really like the balance, but how do you guys integrate all that together? So you're focused on business and growing business, but then also attention with the family and, bringing all that together.
Yeah. I think this is great to talk about. I was around Damon recently and he was kind of amazed at this. Basically what I'm getting at is that I run our family YouTube business and all the video stuff. I run it like a business, meaning that, Josh, my kids are 10, my son is 6, my wife, I say, okay, we're going to knock out our videos for the week on Sunday at 2:00. We're going to be done at 3:30. Now, with my kids, don't you show up at 2:05. I said 2:00. You show up at 1:55, because I'm not being a stern dad, of which I am. I'm teaching them important things, how to show up, how to be punctual, how to be prepared, how to come with ideas. And I'm also showing them a dad who, how I take things very seriously, and we get it done. And then we're done at 3:30 and we go eat. We don't walk around all day with a camera hoping something happens. We don't lollygag. So like when I show people our business, how many videos we've done or whatever, they must think, you always got a camera, and it's the very opposite. Like if I was with you right now, Josh, I would be checking my phone. I want to be able to engage. I want to have a good conversation. I try to be very deliberate and specific about the time I'm spending. And even that, my daughters that are 10, they don't spend time on phones. Like they don't do any of that stuff. So we're very, very specific about we're doing this at this time. We're going to end at that time, because we're going to treat it like a real job. And so what I'm saying is, getting to that, we have a lot of time together, because dad's not always trying to capture every moment. We also don't bring a lot of our personal lives into our videos. We're very good about, okay, what's a story that we can tell, and how can I add some parts that aren't really true just to make it a story, kind of like a sitcom. And so, my daughter will say, well, if we do a video about the pool, I'm looking at the pool right now. If we do a video about the pool, we could add this thing or that thing. And I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. So we're contributing. So then I'll kind of write down some notes and I say, okay, we're going to do the video Sunday at 2. We're going to be done. Be prepared at 2 o'clock so we can get it done. So it's kind of like, you know, we run a business like a real business, even though it's a family.
Right. No, that's awesome. That's really cool to see how you guys, you know, integrate that. And then also you're not like, oh, hey, you know, I got three video guys following us around at all times and then, you know, taking the best stuff and doing all that.
Nope.
And that's great. I mean, you mentioned too, your kids are not usually on their devices and things like that. What's kind of been the whole challenge with that? And because obviously you see kids and they have them all the time and, you know, they're this and, you know, just like 90% of the population, you know, they're the zombies on their phone. So.
Well, there's been no challenge because they don't see, my wife uses it more than I do, but they don't see their dad on their phone. And sometimes I have an urge. I'm like, oh, I want to check that post that I did or like whatever. But when I'm around my kids, they see everything that we do. So I'm very clear about, I just don't get on my phone when I'm around them. Even if we're just sitting in the living room lollygagging, I just don't want to be a guy who's looking at my phone, because that's telling my kids that, like, this is more important than you are. Because, you know, Josh, it's super important, I think, to let people know that it's not really about, you know, we can spend intense time with kids, but it's really just being in the same room sometimes. And, like, being available so my son can come lay on my lap. He's 6 years old. And, like, I just don't want to be on my phone. So my kids are really baffled when they're around other kids their age who are on their phone. They don't really, they don't understand it. And I let them know. I'm like, yeah, girls, like, it's so uninteresting what they're doing. And also the other thing that's important to know, to say, is that when our kids are 10, up until they're a certain age, they have one childhood. They have all the time in the world to be independent, be on their phone, because at some point I can't tell them not to. But when they're 10 years old, I want them to do cartwheels in the living room. I want them to just do spin around, and I want them to be goofy. I don't want to see them in the corner looking at TikToks. Like, that would just break my heart. So the best example that we can give them is through us as parents being the person that we want them to be. And for me, like I said, if I spend time on my phone, it's during the day when they're at school. But when they're with me, I don't spend time on it.
No, that's awesome. That's one of the biggest things I've always done too is, I mean, when I'm at the house, my phone's always in the office. It's separate from where we are and hanging out with them and whatever that
but
is. That
but
we're
your sons
doing.
Are 13 now. Are they at an age, my girls are 10, are they at an age where they're kind of driven to use it more? Or are they still like?
Our boys don't really care. Our daughter who's 15 and Zinda boys.
Well, don't get
that's
me
started. That's a whole other story.
That. Don't get me started about that. But yeah, but I was just thinking, but also your boys, you know, what I know of them, they're very passionate, very driven, and they're very talented. So I think if we can teach our kids to be very passionate and driven and love something, they're not going to be on their phone. So my biggest thing now is like teaching my daughters is that's why I'm coaching soccer. I coach basketball. Right. I don't care what they do. Find one thing you love and let's put everything into it, because if we can do that with our kids, they're not going to care about their phone.
Right. So for sure. Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, I know ours have always done martial arts for years. I did it with them. I mean, we're all third degree black belts.
Even you?
Yeah, even me in Taekwondo, Muay Thai, black belts. And then I actually have my third degree black belt in Krav Maga. And I'm an instructor part time, just whenever we're in town, back in town. So,
wow.
We've always all done that since they were like 5 years old.
Yeah.
And we're doing that 4 to 5 days a week and everything else. And so now that, we're doing a lot less cause we're traveling more for the boys racing and everything, but
you make a good example there. Like your life, as I'm hearing it is, if a family is living a passionate, driven life, then nobody needs to be sitting on their device, mom or dad either, because mom or dad are going out too. Let's go do the thing. But if I'm on my phone a lot, that's telling my kids I really don't have a lot that I'm passionate about because I'm sitting around watching TV on my phone. So then the kids are going to be like, well, that's what I'm going to do as well. That's what life is about. If they get into that rotation, it's hard to get out of. But if we can just if we can just stay like your family and my family of like, okay, what are we doing now? We're playing soccer. Okay, we're playing basketball. We're going we're racing. Whatever it is, let's just keep the journey going and keep making great memories without having to rely on this thing.
No, I agree. And I mean, one of the biggest things I think we've tried to teach them is it's a tool. This is a tool.
Yeah.
Like you can use this as a tool to make money. You can use this as a tool if you have to get a hold of somebody or whatever that might be, but it's not an entertainment device. Right. That's what we've tried to continuously teach them. And you know, that's fine. You want to jump on for a second. You know, our boys use it because they're race drivers. So they have to make sure they're posting at least once a day and things like that for our sponsors and stuff, but they're not on there watching TV all the time, or they jump in the sauna and they'll watch like JP Sears videos or something.
Let's be clear. When I jump in the sauna, like I have my YouTube playlist and I'm learning. But I'm learning. I'm educating myself. I'm not doom scrolling. Like I do use it as a tool for education. I mean, I have to tell you, it's like the talk that I had with you about Primal and the appreciation I have for your wife is I think I gave myself a biochemistry degree on YouTube. He's just watching you know, all these fun things.
And your videos are amazing. She's like, these are so good.
Yeah. So,
no, that's awesome. No, that's super cool. I mean, that's interesting. Guys, I hope you guys are listening to what Justin's talking about. We've dove a lot into different areas from addiction to just, but you can take a look at it from another angle. I mean, maybe you don't have an addiction issue. Maybe you do. Maybe you're addicted to your phone. It's the same thing as alcohol, or maybe you're addicted to sugar or food or whatever that is, but you may have an addiction. Think about what Justin, listen and watch what he was talking about and take some notes and put down, hey, here's the areas that I see myself and here's areas that I can see I can do better in, and just start making a list. And then once you become aware of what is going on, then it's easier to start to make those transitions or transformations into like what Justin did as he transformed himself into a different person, a newer, better person, a version of himself, as he talked about. And by doing that, that led to meeting his amazing wife, having, you know, three amazing kids and a family and a business and everything that all work together. And obviously nobody's perfect. They're not perfect. There's always still struggles and challenges and things like that as a family. We all have them. But overall, he has set his path up for greatness for himself and for his family.
Yeah, I mean, Josh, what you said, everything, and I just like to let people know once again, there's nothing special about me, but there is something special about what I did. And anybody can do that. But like you said, I want to make that point clear that it, you know, my thing was alcohol and a little bit of drugs. But for a lot of people, it's doom scrolling, it's food, it's sugar, and all these things plague us and they hold us back. But once we can have like a little bit of discipline, then have a lot of discipline, and then we become bigger than the problem that we've had, then we're off to the races, and then we can recognize what our full potential is.
For sure. So with businesses, obviously you're an entrepreneur. What are some of the best things that you've found through a variety of different businesses, one business, whatever that may be, that's helped you become successful, that has led you to more profit or more revenue or more cash or just a business that that you love and are passionate about?
Well, you know, for me in my space, I think it's been looking at all the different verticals of where you can actually make money. For instance, if somebody's in the YouTube space, they might be saying, okay, ad money, right? But if you're in the YouTube space, you also say, well, who's my TA? Who's my target audience? What can I sell them? What brand deals can I get? What agency can I get that focuses on lifestyle for my wife? Who focuses on toys for my kids? So we did all those things. And also I said, well, what products can be better in the space that I'm in? So, you know, I invented a light in the past few years that I have. You know, we could talk about it at some point, but that's the light that...
Oh, that's great.
I invented, and then I met Damon John, but he was impressed because I was already had a proof of concept. I didn't meet him. It was like, hey, I have an idea. He was like, wait a minute. So you put all this money into blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, because I believed in it. And I wanted to have a light that worked with mobile and any camera, and it was portable and all these different, and you could still have a microphone on top. There's nothing out there like it. He's like, well, how did you learn it? I just taught myself. I learned a little bit of mechanical engineering and electrical engineering. So I think the lesson there is that people get stuck in like one little vertical. For us, it's been, okay, if we have this slit of the pie, well, how many ingredients are in that to make other things outside of the pie?
Right.
So that's what we've been really, really good at. It's squeezing out a lot of different little verticals where we're at. Whereas a lot of people kind of stay stagnant and they make ad revenue and they live and die by that. If YouTube changes the algorithm, they're gone. And let me tell you something. In the past year, there are people that used to make $20,000 a month. They're making nothing. And some of these people, two people in the past 2 months, have called me to borrow money.
Wow.
Meaning they're like, wow.
Yeah.
I'm just like, wow, like things have really, but when I looked at their business, I was like, man, you lived and died by the algorithm.
Sure. What, obviously, the social media side of things, it promotes and it encourages influencers or whatever you want to call them and things like that in the market space. And I was reading a story the other day and it was talking about this one influencer, and she's like, I don't know, it's 250,000 followers now and making ad revenue. And they just revealed it's all AI driven. Mm. It's all an AI person. It's an AI account.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like, so, you know, as you were talking about, they live and die by like the algorithm or influencers, you know, making money. I mean, if people can go and create an AI image person and algorithm and, account, you know, account based around this, and people think it's a real person and they're generating ad revenue because this AI person is promoting their products and things like that. I mean, where does that leave you? Like,
yeah. Well, also, Josh, it's become very common now on YouTube. There's a lot of people kind of making money without showing their face. It's like AI content. So what that means is that the people that were doing family vlogs or they're doing creator content, people are kind of shifting away from that because they saw that for 10 years of YouTube, like 2013 to 2023 was like really dominated by like, you know, people showing their face a lot. Now there's a lot of people making a ton of money with just podcasts or it's like AI driven content. So if you're stuck in what you were doing before and so a lot of people in the space that I'm in, you know, they like to flaunt. They have like a Lamborghini and a really nice house. And it's like, dude, that's going to be taken from you like overnight because when this algorithm changes, like it has changed, you no longer have that and you have a lot of stress in your life. So once again, going back to, but if you're like us and that's just one little part of your business, you're just like, okay, well, that's fine. You know, we'll figure that out. But I have these seven other things that I'm working on too.
No, that's awesome. And I think one of the biggest things, guys, listen to what Justin's also saying. One of the biggest things that he has done and extracted is he's built a brand around what he's doing. He's not just an influencer. He's not just somebody on YouTube doing social content and things like that. He has a brand about what everything that he's doing. And when you start, and when you actually create a brand, people then attract and want to be part of that brand. They want to support the brand overall. And even if things change or AI stuff comes out or social media algorithms change or whatever that is, Justin and his family, they still have that brand. They can take that brand and move it or position it wherever they want. I think that's huge and significant in what you're doing.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of that is also when you're authentic and people can connect to you and they hopefully like you, they're gonna go with you wherever you go because we're not here making content that's exploitative or in excess. You know, some of this content today is very loud and we've always been like, hey, this is our family. We make mistakes. We're going to make you laugh and whatever it is. But if people get connected to that, they're gonna go wherever you go. And so now that we've been around for, you know, this many years, sure, we don't get the biggest views in the world, but we have a lot of people who really love us, and that matters more.
That's awesome. Justin, we just got a couple minutes left. What's something you're like, man, I really wanted to talk about this with Josh, but he never brought it up, that you really want to talk about or share with the audience and everything before we finish up?
Well, you know, I wanted to talk more about this, but this will, you know, so I had this light that I invented, and Damon John is my partner, and just really exciting because this is coming to the market later in the year, and it's the only light that, if you see here, if I'll take this thing off in the back.
Yep.
So look at this right here.
Oh, wow.
Any camera will...
It's like a...
Look at that.
It's like a stand thing where you can unscrew it and tighten it up
and
stuff.
So anything goes in there. And this is where the mobile adapter goes up here. Okay. So...
Oh, wow.
So basically, it works with... And it's a ring light. So puts it on a tripod.
Yep.
So if the camera's big, it slides out, slides in. Based on the size of the lens. So if I put my camera back in here, you can see that, boom. Now, the reason I came up with this is because I wanted to have a microphone on top, most lights attached to the top.
Right.
So this is something I'm really, really excited about that, like, I've always seen myself as a businessman. But this is exciting because I get to learn about manufacturing. I get to learn about licensing and all these other things. So that's super, super, super exciting. But it kind of goes back to the same story of, like, have something you love and then figure out what that, how something you love can also help somebody else. And maybe you have a new way of looking at something that you can bring something to the world. That's my biggest thing with entrepreneurs okay, you have this audience that you're marketing to. What are you selling them? What do they want?
Right.
Do they want a new type of umbrella? Like, what do they want? And so that's going to be my next venture is helping creators kind of monetize their audience through manufacturing and such. Because, you know, a lot of people are, they don't know how to manufacture anything, but they might have an idea for it, but they get stuck because they don't know where to go.
Right. No, for sure. No, that's super awesome, man. I'm excited to have you and Damon back on when you guys are getting ready to launch it and stuff.
That'd be fun, yeah.
I think that's a home run there, because there's all different kinds of those huge ring lights and
right.
little ones that don't have enough power and that they suck. And
yeah.
So my wife's got a few of them laid all around in my studio over here. So, but no, awesome. Justin, where can everybody find more about you? Where's the best place to find you guys? Obviously, you're all over if they Google you, but do you prefer Instagram or YouTube or Facebook?
It's Instagram, JK McClure, Justin McClure, Facebook, Justin Kelly McClure. Also, I want to drop a website that's not up yet, but it will be soon. I don't know if, you know, this content will go on forever, but it's dailysober.coach. So dailysober.coach. I wrote a book. It's called Daily Sober, 365 Lessons on How to Change Habits. So it's one lesson a day. You know how people are with content. How much should I read every day? One page. So it's one page a day. And I got the inspiration from Daily Dad. Every day I do Daily Dad with my kids. And I said, you know what? For people trying to change their habits, there should be like a Daily Sober. So I wrote it for 6 months. So another thing I did, I wrote this book. And now I'm going to have a coaching site where I can help people kind of overcome their habits. And it's going to be dailysober.coach. So that will be up in a couple of weeks so people can get to me there as well.
Awesome. And where can they get the book now? Or
No. They can't get it now, but probably in 2 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
So guys, when you're watching this again and, you know, it's like 60, 90 days after this podcast post, go check out Justin. You can find his book probably on Amazon at that website link.
Yeah,
whatever, and everything, we'll have
whatever
it.
Whatever dailysober.coach is up, the book will be there too.
Perfect. No, that's awesome. We'll give everybody. And give us a little snippet of your Daily Dad. So everybody, because we like all the dads want to check it out.
Daily Dad. If you go to my Instagram, I've recorded, maybe Josh, you've seen some too, where I see the kids. And you know, this is a great thing to talk about real quick, because the lesson will be one page. But sometimes, Josh, we spend 45 minutes on one page because there might be a quote from Arthur Ashe about something, and then they're like, who's Arthur Ashe? Well, let's turn on YouTube and let's learn a little bit about Arthur Ashe. Let's learn about Franklin D. Roosevelt. Let's learn about, you know, Muhammad Ali. So the lessons are consumable things about how to be a better parent, but sometimes they're quotes from or they're about other people and their biography. Yeah. So we learn about that as well. So one Daily Dad page sometimes is 1 hour with my kids just talking.
Wow.
And
that's
awesome.
We
do it every day. So I can't recommend that book enough. It's by Ryan Holiday. It's called Daily Dad. It's one lesson a day. And so that gave me my inspiration for Daily Sober, which is kind of helping people with their habits.
Awesome. Guys, again, make sure I hope you guys are taking notes. That's why I mentioned it early on. If not, rewind, watch, and listen to this again. Justin's dropped tons of amazing content and insights for you guys. Plus, you can check him out on his social media. He delivers tons of video content that's super cool and funny, and as well as his Daily Sober program coaching. If you need that assistance out there, it's always there and available. Again, Justin, appreciate you coming on the show. Thank you for your time. Just an honor to have you.
Thank you so much for having me, Josh.
I am Josh Felber. You are watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to Making Bank. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. And sharing is caring. Follow Josh Felber on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram for more. You can also listen to Making Bank on Amazon Alexa, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and watch on Apple TV, Success Thinkers Network, Amazon Fire, and YouTube.